Hello and welcome to our site as we continue in our sermons from the Minor Prophets in the Old Testament. Minor Prophets with a major message. And if you have a Bible handy, please take up your Bible now and turn in the Old Testament to the second last of the Old Testament books. It's the prophecy of Zechariah. The prophecy of Zechariah. And I'd like to just take a reading from two of the chapters. I've entitled our message this morning, Cleansed and Crowned. Cleansed and Crowned. And it's a wonderful story that we find in the prophecy of Zechariah. So please turn in your Bible to chapter 3 and then chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 3. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." Then I said, "Put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him, while the angel of the Lord stood by. The angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. "This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in my ways and keep my requirements, then you will be governor over my house and have charge of my courts. And I will give you a place among these standing here. Listen, O high priest Joshua, and your associates seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come. I'm going to bring my servant, the branch. See the stone I have set in front of Joshua. There are seven eyes on that stone, and I will engrave on it an inscription which says, says the Lord Almighty, I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. In that day each of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and fig tree, declares the Lord Almighty." And then if you'll go to chapter 6 and verse 9, a crown for Joshua. He has been cleansed, and now he's crowned. Chapter 6 of Zechariah, verse 9, "The word of the Lord came to me, take silver and gold from the exiles who have arrived from Babylon. Go the same day to the house of Josiah, son of Zephaniah. Take the silver and gold and make a crown and set it on the head of the high priest, Joshua, son of Jehozadak. Tell him this is what the Lord Almighty says. Here is a man whose name is the branch, and he will branch out from his place and build the temple of the Lord. It is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty, and he will sit on his throne, and he will be a priest on his throne. And there will be harmony between the two. The crown will be given to Heldiah, Tobijah, Jediah, and Hen the son of Zephaniah as a memorial in the temple of the Lord. Those who are far away will come and help to build the temple of the Lord. And you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. This will happen if you diligently obey the Lord your God." Just so far, and may God bless our meditation in the prophecy of Zechariah. An interesting fact about the history of Israel, from Abraham to Jesus, is that that period of 2,000 years almost divides neatly into four periods of roughly 500 years each. The first 500 years after Abraham was the period of the patriarchs, Abram, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. During the next 500 years, Israel was led by prophets, from Moses to Samuel, and a succession of judges. Then from 1000 BC to 500 BC, they were led by kings. In our introduction to this series, we reminded ourselves that Israel's succession of kings reigned for five centuries, and not one of them was good. During this time, God raised up a succession of prophets to call his wayward people back to himself, back to righteousness and holiness and true worship. The northern kingdom of 10 tribes, as we have seen, was threatened time and again by the Assyrians. We've studied the prophetic messages of several of these prophets that warned Israel of the coming judgment. Their prophecies were fulfilled to the letter. The 10 tribes were conquered and taken away to be assimilated into the Assyrian culture. Then, as Habakkuk had prophesied, the Babylonian Empire prevailed, and the southern kingdom of Judah was overcome because of their disobedience and departure from the word and the will of God. That took place 586 BC. 70 years of captivity in Babylon followed, exactly what the prophets had prophesied. Then came the power and might of the Medo-Persian kingdom. And God in his sovereignty and providence did a remarkable thing. Ezra and Nehemiah tell the story. The Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to issue a proclamation for the Jews to return to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, and take with them an inventory of 5,400 articles of gold and silver that had been taken by the exiles to Babylon. Life was good in Babylon, and many Jews had prospered there during the 70 years of their captivity. The assignment to return to Judah and restore Jerusalem and build the temple was a tough one, and sadly, only 50,000 Jews returned to fulfill this God-ordained task. What a sad reflection of our carnal, fallen, depraved, and self-centered nature. So Judah's kings, of whom 6 were good, 4 a mixture of good and bad, and the rest bad, reigned just 1 century longer than Israel's kings, before the Babylonian captivity put paid to the kings of Israel and Judah. For the next 500 years, from about 500 BC to the coming of Jesus, the Jews were led by priests. So God gave them a sample of every kind of leadership during their history, and they all failed. What they needed was a combination of prophet, priest, and king, and that they got in Jesus when he came, but they rejected him. Zephaniah prophesied at the same time as Haggai, but longer. We will look at Haggai next time, God willing. Their prophecies were directed at the returned exiles who had the task of restoring Jerusalem and building or rebuilding the temple, even though it would not measure up to the standard of Solomon's magnificent temple. Zechariah's name means God remembers. There are 29 Zechariahs mentioned in the Old Testament. This Zechariah was a priest and a prophet, and he represents a transition period where priests would replace prophets as the spiritual leaders of the Jewish communities. But not only that, priests would also take over where the kings left off. And so we see a very interesting thing taking place in this book, which is our focus for this morning. Zechariah hones in on the leadership of Zerubbabel and the priesthood of Joshua. Please take a look at the incident once again in Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire, a brand snatched from the burning?" Now Joshua is dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." And then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." Then I said, "Put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him, while the angel of the Lord stood by. What an amazing story. But isn't this amazing? Actually, it's not surprising when you take a look at this incident. Whenever something really significant is going to happen in the kingdom of God, Satan, the devil, tries to stop it. He tried to kill every male Jew in Egypt, so Moses wouldn't survive to lead the Hebrew nation out of captivity and give them the law. He had the babies in Bethlehem slaughtered when Jesus was born, so that he would not grow up and redeem Jews and Gentiles from the slavery of sin and death. Here in Jerusalem, 5 centuries before Jesus comes, Satan stands before the high priest who has the same name, Yeshua, Jesus, and accuses him of being unfit for the task. Satan is well named in Scripture as the accuser of the brethren. He accuses Joshua the high priest of being defiled. How can he lead Judah when his garments are filthy? Satan is like the counsel for the prosecution in the heavenly realms. And he is right. You see, all our efforts at self-righteousness are like filthy rags in God's sight. But he is wrong when Satan thinks there's no remedy. Here in this wonderful story, the angel takes off the dirty garments from the high priest Joshua and puts beautiful, clean, pristine clothes on his body and a clean turban on his head. Just what Jesus does for us when we come to the cross where he died for our sins. We're cleansed by his precious blood and clothed in his righteousness with garments of salvation, and we're made a fit kingdom of priests for our God. We are raised up with Christ and made to sit with him as rulers in the heavenly realms. Spiritually, that's already our position as Christians, as believers in Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for our salvation. And we are made victorious over Satan, the accuser of the brethren, the brothers and sisters in Jesus. Joshua is like a stick pulled out of the fire, and so are we as believers in the Lord Jesus. What a graphic and beautiful picture we have here. And in verse 9, God promises that what he has done for Joshua, the Jewish high priest, he would do one day for the whole nation. Remove the sin of the land in a single day. In our church, we're commemorating the Lord's death in his own appointed way at the communion table this morning. We will remember what Jesus, our high priest, accomplished in Jerusalem in a single day, when he shed his blood for our sins and the sins of the whole world. We are here because we know that 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Verse 7 of 1 John 1, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Cleansed, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. That's our first point. What an amazing picture here in the prophecy of Zechariah, 5 centuries before Jesus comes and dies on the cross for our sins, for our cleansing. Here we have this vivid picture of Joshua, the high priest in Jerusalem, among the returned exiles who are to restore the city and rebuild the temple. Joshua, his filthy garments are taken off him, and he is cleansed, and he is clothed with clean garments and a clean turban put on his head. What a wonderful picture of what happens to us in the spiritual realm as we repent of our sins, put our trust in Jesus, are cleansed by his precious blood, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and brought into fellowship with God and with his people, as those who are sanctified, being set apart for God. The writer Elijah Hoffman wrote this well-known old hymn, so long ago, it's so applicable to our portion of Scripture and to our personal experience this morning. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom comes, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained by sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? A beautiful hymn inspired by our passage of Scripture this morning in Zephaniah, the beautiful picture of Joshua the high priest being stripped of his filthy garments and clothed with garments of righteousness and crowned with salvation. But not only cleansed then, but crowned, and that's our second point. And so take a look at again at chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. The word of the Lord came to me, take silver and gold from the exiles who have arrived from Babylon. Go the same day to the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Take the silver and gold and make a crown and set it on the head of the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak. Tell him this is what the Lord Almighty says. Here is a man whose name is the Branch. He will branch out from his place and build the temple of the Lord. It is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne, and he will be a priest on his throne, and there will be harmony between the two. Those who are far away will come and help to build the temple of the Lord, and you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. This will happen if you diligently obey the Lord your God. Another amazing picture. The priest is crowned. The priest is crowned. The priestly office and the royal office are combined here, an indication that in the Davidic kingdom that is to come, all the offices will be combined, unified. Zerubbabel, the leader in Jerusalem at the time, is united with Joshua, the high priest. Their tasks are unified in the restoration of God's city and the rebuilding of God's temple. Zechariah's whole prophecy then moves forward from here to the climactic event of the Messiah's coming, a unifying of these offices of priest and king, a cleansing and a crowning that will be wrought by God himself. Chapter 13 and verse 1, on that day, a fountain will be opened up. A fountain will be opened up, the prophecy says, Zechariah 13:1. Open to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. The shepherd will be struck. A picture of the Lord Jesus being crucified. And then the prophet moves from there to a vision of the Lord's coming, the second coming of Jesus, when Jesus will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On that day, chapter 14, verse 8, living water will flow out from Jerusalem. In verse 9, the Lord himself will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord, and his name, the only one. What an amazing prophecy of the second coming of Jesus, following a prophetic word about the first coming of Jesus, when he would die on the cross for our sins. What a wonderful prophecy this is. It's not easy to understand, as the prophet has these eight visions in the second part of the book, but they culminate in this glorious foretaste of the first and second comings of Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. In a series of remarkable visions, then, the prophet in the second half of this book that bears his name has an apocalyptic style, rather like the Revelation, very similar and quoted some in the book of Revelation. It brings together the present situation of the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem that was going on in the time of Zephaniah the priest, and as well as bringing that together, that time of that present in 500 BC or thereabouts, to the atoning work of Christ in his first coming, his death on the cross for our sins, and then forward to the consummation of God's great plan of salvation in the second coming of the Lord Jesus, when Jews and Gentiles, redeemed by the cleansing tide of Calvary, will share in the joy of God's eternal harvest, pictured in the gathering for the Feast of Tabernacles here at the end of Zechariah's prophecy. Cleansed and crowned, we shall reign with Christ forever and ever. What a beautiful picture the Lord has given to us in the prophecy of Zechariah. And what a challenge for each of us this morning. The challenge, first of all, have we been cleansed? There's only one way to be purified, cleansed from the contamination of sin, and that is through the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross for us 2,000 years ago. And there's only one way to be crowned, to be able to look forward to the fact that not only are we already, as believers in Jesus, raised up with Christ and made to sit with him in heavenly places, but we can look forward to that time when Jesus comes back again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible says the dead in Christ will be raised first, and then we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall ever be with the Lord. And the Revelation, which picks up these wonderful visions of the second coming of Jesus and the climax of our salvation, shows how we shall reign with Christ forever and ever. Oh, the Hallelujah chorus is just a fitting song for our message today. Are you cleansed through the blood of the Lamb? Have you been to the cross? Have you repented of your sin and placed your trust in Christ and found forgiveness, cleansing, and restoration of your broken relationship with God? And are you looking forward to that glorious day when Jesus comes again to consummate his redeeming love, and he will come as King to reign forever and ever, and we look forward as believers in Jesus to reigning with Christ? Let us pray. O God and Father, we thank you for this magnificent prophecy given to Zechariah, and we thank you for this wonderful picture of Joshua, the high priest in Jerusalem, being cleansed and crowned. And what a forerunner of the reality that can be our reality when we put our trust in Jesus, are cleansed through his precious blood shed on the cross, and raised up with him to reign with him forever and ever in glory. Thank you, Father, that you so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And we pray today that you would reign in our lives. We ask that your name will be hallowed, that your kingdom will come, and that your will be accomplished in our lives, our loved ones, your church, and your world, and that you would deliver us from all evil. For yours is the kingdom, Lord God. Yours is the kingdom and the glory, the authority and the power, forever and ever. And we bless your name. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you evermore. Amen.
Restore, O Lord, the honor of your name. In works of sovereign power, come shake the earth again, that men may see and come with reverent fear to the living God, whose kingdom shall outlast the years. Restore, O Lord, in all the earth your fame, and in our time revive the church that bears your name. And in your anger, Lord, remember mercy, your living God, whose mercy shall outlast the years. Bend us, O Lord, when we are hard and cold, in your refiner's fire. Kingdom shall outlast the years.